sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Friends in Christ, fellow sheep, grace to you and peace from the Good Shepherd. Grace to you and peace from the one whose voice we are listening for again this rainy day. May it be so. Okay, I just called you sheep. So let me start by saying, again, sheep aren't just dumb animals. I mean, they are. And they get lost, and they follow blindly, and all of that. I'll get to that in a second. But think about this, too. I want to start with this. Sheep are also giving animals, you know? They give of themselves. They give of their wool. They give of their milk. They give their whole selves. They give their meat. They give their whole bodies. And in that giving away of themselves, they actually draw people together. Even for worship, you know, they can be the center of the ancient worship service. The offering is a sheep, or maybe a feast afterwards is a sheep. And so people gather together. Sheep are giving animals. They're warming animals. They gather people. They feed people. All metaphors, of course, are broken at some level, so you hold this a bit loosely. Jesus even says in the text for today, I'm speaking in metaphors. Jesus is speaking, using a figure of speech. So hold it a bit loosely, but there is some powerful stuff here. Sheep warm, they nourish with nutrients, you know, calcium for the bones, strong bones. They feed people the protein and even feeding people through ritual and through gathering, through community. The idea that the church is the sheepfold is a statement of truth at our best. It is a description of us, Bethlehem Lutheran. At our best, we warm the world. When we're being faithful, when we're at our best, we nourish and nurture. We feed others, even as we are fed. So hold that along with, yeah, sheep are dumb animals. Yeah, they get lost. They go after things. They get distracted. Yeah, so we are also sheep in that. All too often, we slip into thinking we know better than Jesus. We go astray, imagining we know better than the Good Shepherd. Many times, we don't even hear Christ's voice. We're just out there on our own, apart from the fold, lost sometimes, or I think more times than not, just going after other things. Don't need the church. Don't need the community of the faithful. Don't need Jesus. Just going after other things. We get lured and distracted. Sometimes we're not distracted at all. We are focused, but focused on something totally different. Focused on the things that we're after, status or power or rank or money or success. Sometimes we're hooked or even addicted to those and certainly other things. You have to pray about that. What is that for you? You have to determine what it is that's keeping you from hearing Jesus' voice these days. What is it that's got you? We all do this. In the church, out of the church, we all do this. What is it that's keeping you from hearing Christ calling your name, guiding you, giving you instruction, and more than that, giving you welcome and belonging? How we can forget or be oblivious or even just plain ignore the Good Shepherd calling each of us by name, as individuals and as whole communities, as the church. Christ is calling. The church has traditionally, and I mean for centuries, I don't mean traditionally like since the 1960s or 70s or 50s or whatever. I mean traditionally like for centuries, the church has read this text in the Easter season. This Easter season, this is the fourth Sunday of the Easter season. Christ is risen indeed. The church has for centuries read this text during this season as a way of realigning ourselves with the shepherd's voice, specifically during the resurrection celebration. At first glance, I mean at this text, especially if one just glances at these 10 verses, and I realize that's often the case. You haven't looked at the whole Gospel of John. We just read these 10 verses, chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. It is easy to miss that this story, this lesson of Jesus, this little sermon of Jesus is following and precisely related to this, to what just happened. And that is that Jesus just healed the man who was born blind. Do you remember that story? We read it during the season of Lent. This is Jesus now discoursing about what just happened. And that's often the case in the Gospel of John. Something has, there's a miracle, there's a sign that Jesus does. There's seven of them specifically. This is one of the seven. And then there's a discourse afterwards. And some say, what is going on? You know, they don't understand that's happening here with the disciples. So Jesus is like, let me tell you what's happening here. Jesus just healed this man who's born blind. Now he's talking about it. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. I call them by name and they're mine. What? The disciples, I don't get it. I'm the gate, Jesus says. The sheep come and go with me. They come in and they're safe and protected and they go out and they eat. The Reverend Dr. Caroline Lewis helps us connect these two texts that have been separated just by the season, because we read the one before this in Lent, and now we're reading this, and we break them apart. She helps us get back. She says, you want to know what abundant life really means? You know, at the end of this passage, Jesus says, those who are with me will have life and have it abundantly. My sheep will have life and have it abundantly. You want to know what abundant life really means, Dr. Lewis says? Just ask the man who was born blind, whose sight, again, a metaphor, whose sight, that is, whose understanding, whose knowing Jesus, whose faith, whose sense of belonging has been resurrected, has been brought back from the dead. Ask him what it means to have life abundant. And suddenly it's like, oh, going after all those other things or following the voice of Jesus. Remember how he says, how did this happen? He said, I don't know. He told me to wash, and I went, and I did it, and now I can see. At first glance, we might miss this, that these two texts are directly connected. And also, I want to talk, at first glance, I think the thief and bandit language, we need to lift that and talk about that a little bit, too. The thief and the bandit. Thieves and bandits come in, not through the gate, but through other ways. They come in, they steal. I think sometimes that language almost sounds like a finger wag at you or me or at some other sort of bad children. Like, don't do drugs, sex, and rock and roll, bad children. And don't let people who do in, sneak in. Thieves and bandits, I tell you. Now, I'm being a little flippant here. I'm being generalizing, and I hope you know that, but there is a lot of self-righteous, pietistical you-betters and you-have-tos that can and certainly have gotten heaped up over the years in this thief and bandit imagery. This is why we have to study the entire Gospel of John. While I am not condoning or excusing any kind of reckless, hurtful, even abusive to self or others' life choices or life directions, that is not what Jesus is talking about here in the Gospel of John. This thieves and bandits imagery is about these other voices, these things that draw you away He is talking about belonging to him and being looked after by him. Jesus is talking about an intimate relationship of trusting and faithfully following, of listening. He's talking about how you're part of his fold, friends. He's talking about wanting to lead us, always calling to us by name, always welcoming us, always forgiving us, always loving us. Now that's in line with the whole Gospel of John. Those first listeners, albeit a different time and certainly a different place, they had the same temptations and distractions away from the Good Shepherd's voice. So this is not just finger wag at the bad people, and sometimes that's you, and sometimes we can point our fingers at others. It's not what this is about. This is about Jesus wanting to gather us and love us. Yes, there are so many other voices that lure us away from that life-giving enfolding, that abundance-bestowing embrace, that always abiding with us guidance. It is there for you. So what are those other voices and those other things that lure you away from that? Ponder that. Pray about that this week. What do you suppose the Good Shepherd is saying to you now? We identify the voices, maybe. Just pay attention to them. Because a lot of times they're tricky. Sometimes they're even within the church, lowercase c, you know? They're right here sometimes, those voices, those lures. So try to identify them prayerfully. And then, okay, there they are. Now, what do you suppose the Good Shepherd is saying to you now? To us, church, as a community of faithful ones? We need this Sunday. We need this Sunday to listen and to hear that divine shepherd voice again. If we're going to keep with this embracing, abiding, loving, forgiving, nurturing, and protecting Good Shepherd theme that runs so deeply through all of John's gospel, then I think that's what the Good Shepherd is leading us to as well. You know? Who needs more embracing in our world? I wonder if that's what the Good Shepherd is saying to us. I love you. I embrace you. I hold you. You're part of my fold 100%. Now, go and do likewise. Who is it that needs embracing in our world? Who is it that needs more forgiveness in our world? I've forgiven you, Jesus says. Now go and forgive others. Who is it that needs more protection? I'm protecting you in a divine sense. It's not to say no physical harm will come our way. In fact, often it does. Certainly does in our world. But Jesus protects us in a divine sense and gives us this peace. So turn and do that for others. Who needs protection? Who needs also, like I'm giving to you, Jesus says, who needs more belonging, a sense of belonging? Who doesn't belong out there? Can you imagine what the Good Shepherd is saying to you today? Calling out to you. Hey, Joe. Hey, Mary. Hey, Dan. Stop going after all those other things. Come back. I've got you. And I will give you a peace and a safety that is beyond what the world can know or ever understand, Jesus says. I am the gate, the entryway into that, and I will keep you, hold you forever. No wars, no guns, no violence can ever keep you from my divine safekeeping. No abuse, no exclusion, no evil, no racism, no bigotry can ever keep you from my divine embrace, Jesus says. That's what my sheepfold looks like. That's what my life that I give to my flock looks like. You don't have to be afraid even in the valley of the shadow of death, Jesus says, because I will be with you. No more rat racing, no more cutthroating, no more grinding down or marching on. Love, joy, peace. In through the gate, and out again into pasture, Jesus says. That's life abundant. Pasture, by the way, I'll finish with this. Pasture, by the way, doesn't mean going out to die, going out to pasture. You know, that's a turn of phrase that farmers use, and we know what that means, you know, going out to die. That's not what it means in this case, and it's not how it was understood traditionally. It also doesn't mean going out into the world. You know what pasture, we know what this meant to the early church. The church understood pasture as the sacraments. So we go out there to receive our nourishment. We go out there to receive it. Remember the three billy goats gruff, the juicy fields? We're going out to the juicy fields. That's where the life is. We get our own, we get our nourishment. We get our the body and blood of Christ. That's where the sheep eat. That's here. That out there is right here for us to receive. That is so John, Gospel of John, you know, layers of complexity and poetry and enigma, but it's also very concrete. Food for the body and for the soul. Welcome for the wayward. Reassurance for those who never really strayed, who kind of always there, but sort of wonder, like, am I on the right track? Yes. Yes, this is the day, friends. The church needs this day to listen, to recalibrate our hearing and our seeing. Christ is calling you by name and inviting us to do what he has done for us, to do the same, again, like the foot washing. I'm washing you, I'm loving you, I'm forgiving you, I'm feeding you, I'm sheltering you. Now turn and wash and love and forgive and feed and shelter others. Sheep on, in other words, friends. Sheep on. Sheep on. Keep being the sheep, the giving animals that God has made you to be, called you by name and continued to beckon you to be. For that life abundance is yours this day. That life in the spirit, that life in the fold, that life of coming in and going out, that life in peace and joy and safety and hope and resurrection and eternity, that nothing can separate us. Life in Christ is yours, not just after you die, but now, this day. And as we continue to sheep on. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.